This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everybody. Sure. I was at a funeral yesterday. I had the privilege to, the opportunity to share the word at a funeral yesterday. And it was really a blessing, but you know, times like that, it makes you think about life. You know, it makes you stand still for a while and just think, what is life really about? I think sometimes we live life, sometimes we go through life as if it's never going to end. And I just had an opportunity yesterday just to remind us, you know, that life is difficult. You know, and what we spoke about yesterday is where Jesus says, "Hierdie myke is verskriklik hard." Ek kan net 'n bietjie sagter sit, sorry. Ek kan nie. What we spoke about yesterday was that Jesus says that life will be tough. I think we've got this, sometimes we've got this misperception of jy moet net jou lewe vir die Here gee en dan gaan al jou probleme uitgesort wees. You know, you just need to give your life to God, and now you've got a plan. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and everything's just going to work, is going to fall in place, and, you know, everything is just going to be fine. And that is not true. Jesus himself said that in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have difficult times. And I'm talking about big stuff, difficult stuff, questions that we can't answer for one another. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And what we just spoke about yesterday was these two realities that is true at the same time. You've got this place where life is difficult. In this world, you will have trouble. And at the same time, you've got Jesus who has overcome the world. Now, if we look at these two realities separate from each other, it's unhealthy, it's not good. You know, on the one side you say, okay, life is just tough, you know. Ons moet dit net aanvaar, we just have to accept life is tough. And ons moet maar net aangaan, jy weet, kyk noord en gaan net aan, jy weet. That's the kind of thing that the attitude that we get. And we make our hearts hot and we build walls so that we can just go through life and make it in life. That's the one side of this, that's the one reality. The other reality is that Jesus has overcome this world and everything is just joyful. And now that I'm saved, nothing may go wrong. So we don't accept things when it go wrong and we don't really deal with those things. We kick it under the carpet and we just say, ek fokus eers daarop, want ek wil net, die Here is goed en ek moet net joy hierdie hele tyd. And we put up this face of joy because we are most now children of God. So we have to be joyful. The reality is that both of these realities are true. Life is difficult, life has problems, but at the same time, there's an overcoming Savior. And the only way that we can, God wants us to deal with our hurt. Christianity is actually the only worldview that really deals with hurt. You know, anything else, you can, I want to actually put it out there, and you can challenge me on that, but any other worldview doesn't really do it like Christianity does it. Deals with hurt, looks hurt in the eyes and say, listen, there's an overcoming Savior. I don't have the answers, but God gives. In God, I have peace and I have joy. That's not linked to circumstances. So I just felt that was a bit of what I shared yesterday, and I just felt that I had to share it again this morning. I don't know if, no, it's not a part of my sermon, but it's just something that I felt that, you know, we can take with us, and that it will mean something for someone here today. Okay, so today I want to speak about pouring out before God. A while ago, I was thinking about this whole concept of pouring out before God. En wat het beteken om uit te giet voor die Here, om leeg te maak voor die Here. There's this passage in, that actually reminded me of this, was the passage where Paul said that he is poured out as a drink offering before the Lord. And that just got me thinking, you know. Sjoe, wat beteken dit? Wat beteken dit as ons sê, pour out? Now, if you think of a bucket of water and you're pouring it out on the grass, You cannot retrieve that water back into the bucket. That water is poured out. It is gone. It's into the grass. It becomes something new. It can't get it back into that bucket. Like we sang this morning, God, it's your breath in our lungs, and we pour out our praise. We're actually saying that we're giving our lives to you without being able to take it back. God, we trust you with it. And that's really my heart today, is that we look at a few scriptures today of pouring out before God and allowing God to reveal to us that we can trust him. We were praying before church and Johannes was just praying, or we were just praying, and it came up that sometimes we have this idea of Christianity that it's just a nice idea, you know. It might be your best idea. It might be like on top of the list. But today God's saying it's not part of that list. It's above everything. It's the center of everything. It's not the top priority on the list. It's the center of all the priorities that you have. It's the center of that, the core of that. And that God wants us to be able to trust him with our lives. To say, Here, ek gooi hierdie emmer water uit. It's not going to come back. I want to go in kop en tone. Kop tot tone wil ek in wees. And there's no return. So that's really what I'm trusting we'll get at today. So, I'm gonna dig right or jump right in. We're going to look at Paul, Philippians 2, verse 17. You can follow with me on the board. I've got the scriptures here. Okay, this is, if you remember where we spoke about this last time also, but just to recap, Paul was in prison here in Rome, and he was writing this letter to the Philippians. Okay, so he was not in a good place. He was in a difficult situation when he wrote this. And then he said, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, also be glad and rejoice with me. Okay, so Paul is saying here that his service for Christ is like a drink offering poured out. The work that he's doing for Christ is a drink offering to the Lord, poured out on the Philippians' sacrifice that they are doing also as service to God. Okay, so the beautiful thing for me is, the first thing that I want to mention of this is, Paul sees his service as an offering to God. He didn't see it as something that justified him in life. He didn't see it as, I need to do all these things and then I'm right with God. He saw it as a sacrifice, a drink offering to the Lord, something pleasant to God. Do we ever think of God as a personal God? Think of God being happy or being sad. God can be happy and sad. He sees his service to God as something that makes God happy, as something that's offering to God, that's pleasing unto God, not as something that he needs to do to be right with God. You see, Jesus already did that for him on the cross. But he sees his service to God as something that, yo, God is really enjoying what I'm doing now. He's seeing it as a drink offering to the Lord. Think of having a cold beer on a hot day, a drink offering. That is that pleasantness. He's saying that his service is like that to God. You didn't think you can make that comparison with God. But that is actually what they did when they made a drink offering. They were giving God a drink offering. That is what the Jews were doing in that time. And I just want to give us a little bit of background on this drink offering that the Jews did. That the Jews did in that time. Now the drink offering, you know that the Jews in the old covenant, they made a lot of sacrifices. Animal sacrifices, grain offerings, and all of that. Now, the drink offering could only be done in the promised land, when they have gone out of the wilderness into the promised land. Now, Paul is sitting here in prison. He's sitting here in terrible circumstances. And he's referring to this drink offering. His circumstances didn't determine where he was, in a sense. His identity in Christ made him be able to say that I can be a drink offering even if I'm in prison. Even here in prison, Jesus Christ was his promised land where he could make that drink offering. What happens when our circumstances become difficult? Do we still see our service as that place, from that place of knowing that our peace and our joy is in Jesus Christ and not in our circumstances? The second thing of this drink offering that the Jews did was, it was an offering that the worshippers did. Now, if you know that there was a place where Paul and Silas was in prison at another occasion where they actually worshipped in prison. They worshipped in prison. Have we ever considered in those difficult times to lift up our eyes and just say, God, I'm just going to worship you. I know I don't have the answer now for this difficult situation that I'm in. I'm in prison. I'm actually on my way to be killed. That is where Paul was at. But I'm going to worship you. I don't have the answer, but I'm going to worship you. That was the heart with which Paul wrote this when he said that he's being poured out. Another beautiful thing about the drink offering was that the drink offering was always poured on top of another offering. So there would have been already an offering being made. So say they've been sacrificing lambs and grain and everything is on the altar. And then the drink offering would be an addition to that. It would never be something that was just offered on its own. And now Paul is writing to them and he's saying that my service is like a drink offering on top of the service, on top of your sacrifice of service. So he's speaking to the Philippians. And what's so beautiful about this is Christianity, this walk that we walk every day, was never meant to be done alone. It was never meant to be done alone. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Hierdie bymekaar kom, dit is waar ons, where we are, the body of Christ. That is why we have small group and why we are so serious about small group. It's not just to fill the program. But it is actually where we live out our Christianity. It's in a place of saying, listen, our offering can only be done on top of the sacrifice. On top of being together. Ons was nooit bedoel om hierdie walk alleen te loop. En ek dink, many times you go through life and we struggle because we forget this. We struggle because we think we're the only one struggling. But we were never meant to struggle alone. We were meant to struggle together. To look our pain in the face and know that there's an overcoming Savior. And we can have joy and peace in Him. But we were meant to do it together. Like God said, I pray that as me and the Father is one, that we will be one. Jesus said that. And that is so beautiful. That ons hoef nie bekommerd te wees, dat ons alleen is in die Koninkryk van God. It's meant to be done together. Amen. And then the last thing about this drink offering was that the priests who made the offering would hold back some of the meat and some of the grain for themselves in this offering. So they could actually take part in this meal that they were presenting to God. They could take part of that. But the drink offering, they had to pour out everything because they weren't allowed to drink wine in the temple. So they had to pour out, that was like a custom that they had to pour out all the wine. So it just reminds us again that there's nothing left. When we pour out to God, when as I say, Here ek vertrou u, there's not a little bit left in that cup. We're saying, God, have my everything. Have my everything. So that's just when it comes to this part of Scripture, how do we see our service? Do we see it as a sacrifice, as an offering to God, as something that's pleasing to God? And then finally, or just what I just want to leave with us with this part of Scripture is, well, how do our circumstances determine how we serve God? How do our circumstances determine how we live our lives? You know, sometimes we can let our circumstances make our lives revolve around our circumstances. You know, it's going bad, so, you know, that's just the middle focus point of everything I'm doing. I'm just trying to get out of this hole. Sometimes you're not meant to get out of that hole, sorry to say. Sometimes there's a place of knowing God in that place, in the valley, before you get out to the mountaintop. There's a place where we need to know God in that difficult place. There's always hope that we will get out, but there's a beautiful place of knowing God in that dump that we are in sometimes. What is our attitude towards our circumstances? The second Bible story I want to go to is Mary pouring out her costly oil onto Jesus. It's another example of pouring out. So let's read together from John 12 from verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now this oil that Mary poured out, she also poured out everything onto Jesus. There was nothing left. But this, when I was just reading this, I realized that this resembles like such a precious thing to her. It resembled basically everything that she had. She could just pour out in front over Jesus. What is our attitude towards the things that we have in life? What is our attitude towards success in life? And wanting more in life? And that's always like your mukpunt. You know, I've been working now for 10, 15 years. I ek moet seker daar om nou al in 'n beter plek bly. I should have actually like achieved more in my life. Ek moet seker nou al 'n bietjie meer in die bank gehad het. What is our attitude towards the things that we have? I'm not saying that we just have to pour out everything and just give everything away. That's not what I'm saying, but what's your heart attitude towards those things? Wat is jou hart teenoor daai goeders? Are those things making you do what you do, or is God making you do what you do? You see, some things in life is actually placed in our lives as a sacrifice to God. And if we use that sacrifice of God on ourselves, it actually endangers us. It puts us in danger. We're going to get to that a little bit later. I remember Yaku told a story once of this leather couch that he had. And he just felt the Lord said, "Listen, you have to give this couch away." And he really was struggling with this thing because it's a really nice couch that he wants to use. And, you know, he was kind of, he just wanted to make sure that he knew who he had to give it to. And he just kind of wanted to make sure that, you know, it's going to be used for the right reason and everything. And then he just gave the couch, out of faith, he just gave the couch to the people. And months later, he came to them, and they weren't even using the couch. It was there in the garage full of dust, and it was like, yo, he like really cherished this thing. And then it was just wasted. And how often do we, before we give, want to make sure that what we give is actually going to be used for the right stuff? Some things in life is obvious, but sometimes God will just place stuff on your heart and say, "Listen, gee net, moenie terugkyk nie. Don't look back." You know, and God had to do something in Yaku's heart there. It wasn't about the couch. It was about the heart attitude towards the couch, towards the things. What is our heart attitude toward the things in our lives? We look for good reasons not to give. You know, and sometimes it's stuff that's close to us, you know. It's sometimes there's very good reasons not to give. Think of what Judas said there, you know. You could have sold that oil and was going to klomp arme mense gevoet het daarmee. You know, it's a, like kind of good reasons. Or sometimes, you know, you have to save up for your kids' education, or I don't know what it is, you know. It's like stuff that's really obvious things that you need to save for. Or need to, I'm using that example now, but think of anything. Sometimes it's obvious, like, I may have this, you know, but God will just lay that something on your heart and say, "Listen, give it over to me, trust me. I will sort out your life, trust me." Another beautiful thing about Mary pouring out the oil is that the fragrance, and pouring out all of it, the fragrance filled the whole house. Not only Jesus was blessed by that, but the whole house was blessed with that. If we give out our everything, if we pour out to God, we don't only bless God, we bless those around us as well. We're actually pouring out our blessing, not in only for ourselves, that's a temporary blessing, but into eternity. God is outside of time. So when we bless God, there's an opportunity for everyone to be blessed with that. She didn't only bless herself. She chose to bless God and through that blessed everyone in the house. But the fact is that she had to make that choice to do that. Sy kon gekies het om dit te hou, jy weet, en miskien om net die helfte uit te gooi. Of net 'n bietjie the amount that she usually uses for herself, just use that, you know. But she decided to pour out everything. It was a choice that she had to make. Sometimes we want to act out of a place of we really need to feel it, you know. We need to feel before we do something. And that's kind of our confirmation. Sometimes God's just going to say something. It's not going to be an emotional thing. We just have to make that choice. The next story I want to go to is David. King David, who was at a place where he was getting older, and he was actually in a place of hiding in a cave. Yeah, let's read the story from 2 Samuel 23. David was then in a stronghold, and in the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was at the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord. What was David doing there? He was thirsty. He actually, it was something that was, that he actually made vocal. Yes, as ek net 'n slukkie van daai water kon gekry het, wat in daai well is, waar ek as kind altyd water gedrink het. Ja, dit sal hom nou lekker wees. If I could just have a sip of that water, where as a child I could draw out water and drink it. Yo, that would like be awesome now. He was just making his thoughts known. He wasn't commanding it. He wasn't asking them for it. And then the mighty men went and they broke through. They put their lives in danger, actually, to go and fetch this water for him and bring it to him. And I'm just like, David, hoekom het jy die water gedrink nie? Why did you pour it out to God? The first thing I want to say on that is that what David did there was between him and God. It was between him and God. He didn't care about... I can't really say he didn't care, but his first priority was between him and God. He was a man that was close to God's heart. He was a man that walked close to God. So if something happened in his life, think of the time when he sinned. Psalm 51, where he repents. What did he do? He fell in love with a woman that was married to another man. So he let this man fight in the front row of the war so that he can die, so that he can have this wife. So he was actually murdering because of this lust that he had for this woman or the situation he was in. And what did he say there? Against God and God alone have I sinned. No, in my view, you didn't. You sinned not only against God, but what about the family, the father that you killed? But David, the point is, it's between David and God. David was a man close to God's heart. When David sinned against people, he saw it as sin against God first. And he could walk in closeness with God. When he poured out that water, he didn't care that he would offend someone or what other people would think of what he's doing. How do we let other people think? The situations that we are in at work, how do we let that shape our actions? are pouring out before God. Sometimes God will ask radical obedience. Weird stuff, man, that you don't want to do, that goes against everything that everyone around you thinks and says is the logical thing to do. David, just have a sip of that water. You were longing for it. I know you didn't ask for it, but we brought it now. So just, God, I'm not, this is too much, you know. This is so wonderful. I just want to, this gift that I've received, I just want to give to you. And I'm just going to pour it out. The blessing that I have in you, Lord, is better than this blessing that I've received now. That's the heart with which I believe that David poured out that water. And if I truly think about it, I think those mighty men who brought that water would have been honored to see him pour it out and say that, yo, our gift to David was so special to him that he could give it to the Lord. He could give it to the Lord. We never know what our actions and our radical obedience do in the hearts of those around us. We never know that. Only God knows that. All we know is that we need to be obedient. We need to do that thing that's weird in the eyes of the people around us. We need to sometimes stay thirsty. We need to sometimes stay thirsty. Now, the thing that these three stories have in common is that in each of them, there was a choice made. Okay? Paul had to choose in his circumstances that he's going to worship God. He's going to find joy no matter what his circumstances is. Mary had to choose. She could choose between keeping her oil for herself, that was costly oil, that was something that was valuable to her, or to give it to Jesus. And David had this choice of, he could have drank the water, you know. He could have quenched his thirst. But he chose to pour it out before God. There was a choice made by each and every one of them. Now I want you to hear me out, that I'm not saying today that die goeie goeders in die lewe moet ons net altyd sien as goeders wat ons moet sacrifice. No, I'm not saying that. But what is our attitude toward our circumstances? Are we letting that determine who we are? What is our attitude towards our possessions? Are we letting that determine how we walk every day, how we go to work? I just have to have success. I just have to have this and that. Or are we surrendered to God? Are we given over to God in that? And how is our attitude and our towards what people will think around us when God is calling us to do something for Him? What is our attitude towards that? We have a choice every day. A choice to either pour into yourself, okay? And that choice of pouring into yourself is a temporary satisfaction. Think God as David had water gedrink het. If David drank that water, the next day he would have been thirsty again. And the truth of the matter is, when we use those things that are meant to be offered to the Lord on ourselves, and we make that our focus point, it actually turns into lust. Lust not only in a sexual sense. I think sometimes we think of lust just in a sexual sense. But it's actually that attitude of, I have to have this now. I have to have it now. That is what lust is. It's something that, ek gaan fight tot ek hierdie ding kry en ek wil dit nou hê en ek gaan dit nou kry. That's what lust is. And that's what happens when we use something that's meant to be offered to God for ourselves. It results in that, and it's temporary. Tomorrow you will be thirsty again. Tomorrow you strive to have this dream house, and in 5 years' time you want a new house. You know, it's sometimes crazy how life is just going always on and on and on, and we live like we're never going to see the end of our lives. We don't realize that there's an eternity waiting for us. And we just make our lives revolve around these things, temporary things. So we've got a choice to either do that, pouring into ourselves, or to pour onto the Lord. Pour it in front of the Lord. When we pour in front of the Lord, we won't only reap fruits now, we'll reap eternal fruits. And there's a gap that nobody here can fill. It's a place that only God can fill when we pour out to the Lord. It's something that you say, you want to fill yourself, tomorrow you're going to have to fill yourself again. But when we pour out to God, He fills something in our hearts that's been missing forever, and it's going to stay there forever because He put it there. It's outside of time. Now the thing about if I just thought that this mindset might creep in is that, you know, God just wants to steal my fun and he just wants everything from me. But that is not what God is saying here. It's that place of having a choice to make sacrifices in our life, to make give offerings to God, that is actually giving us a better life than what it would have been if we poured it out into ourselves. I read this analogy in the week about felt fires, you know, and how really drastic felt fires happen. And what happens is that every once in a while, the field burns. You know, in the forests and everything, there's the forest sometimes burned, a section of the forest burned down, and that's a good thing because all the little dead twigs and branches and everything gets out of the way. So there's new plants that can grow. But now if those smaller fires aren't there, then all those dead branches and leaves and everything accumulate. And then when there's a fire, when it carries on too long for that, when there's a fire, then the whole forest burns down. Let us make the choice to make those offerings to God, those small offerings to God. Let us make the choice to clean our forest. Because if we don't do that, there's going to be a day when the whole forest burns down. There's going to be a day when the whole forest burns down. Let's clean our forest. Let's keep it clean by offering God those small things so that that everything is not falling down. You know, if we're just going to fill ourselves, some other time it's going to fall. God is not, yeah, like I said just now, he's not doing it to steal our fun in life. But he knows that if we just pour out and just build our own lives for ourselves, it's going to cave in on itself some other time. And God doesn't want that to happen to us. God wants us to find our joy in him and him alone. Amen. And the beautiful thing about pouring out to the Lord and letting our thirst be filled by him is that it blesses those around us. And I just want to go there again in John 7, verse 37. I'm going to, I'll read from the start. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So that bucket that we are speaking about is actually replaced by a river that will flow. There's going to be so much that it will just flow. We don't have to worry about pouring out the bucket before God. It's just going to flow out of our hearts. And that's something that only God can do. When we pour out before God, we actually open ourselves up to bless those around us as well. How beautiful is that? Now, the beautiful thing about choice, is that is such a big aspect of love. It's such a big aspect of love. Without choice, there's no love. Yaku mentioned it last week as well. You know, we're not robots. God didn't create us as robots just to love him automatically. He placed a choice in our hearts. You know, if you only love your wife when you feel like it, that's not true love. We need to make a choice. We need to make a choice to be able to love. That is what true love is, to have choice. That is what it means to have love. You cannot force someone to love you. That is not true love. That choice needs to come from the person that loves you. Now, God is love, and he created us to have a relationship with us. That is the reason he created us, is for that love, so that he could have us to actually exercise that love on. I almost want to say to give that love, to be in a relationship with us. That is why we were created. And with that, he had to give us choice. Because otherwise it wouldn't have been real love. And that's a beautiful gift that we actually have, is that choice that we have in our hands. It's a gift of an opportunity to say, listen, I've got a choice to love. I've got a choice to choose God. Ons is net in 'n mode gesit om laat ons so soldate die Here volg nie. He wants a living relationship. He wants a love relationship with us. And I believe that's a big reason why the world is in the state that it is in, unfortunately. is from the beginning, from the first man on this earth, we chose against God. We used that gift of choosing God and chose something else instead of God. And I believe that's a big reason why the world is in the state that it is in. And then when stuff goes wrong, we're quick to point the finger at God. We're quick to say that, God, why is this happening now? Hoekom het ek nou weer my werk verloor? Of hoekom het ek nou weer pap wil? Of whatever the thing might be that you are pointing the finger at God at. But we forget that the choice is in our hands to love God. And the broken state of the world is not God's plan. It's not God's heart that the world must be broken. It's something that choosing against God resulted into that. I want to ask us, and I really trust that we can choose God. That we can choose God. Choose to pour out before God. I wanna go to a last story from the Bible. And this is Jesus with his disciples. Okay, so this is the last meal that Jesus would have with his disciples before he was, the last Passover meal that he would have before he was captured and crucified. So it was a Jewish custom that every year you celebrate the Passover, where the blood was put on the doorpost and the Spirit of God passed by. That is basically what they celebrated every year with the Passover. Now, this Passover meal is full of little customs and rituals and things. And we actually had the opportunity to be a part of that. Me and Rolien did it once in Swakopmund. There's a lady, Carol, and she's from a Jewish background. So she knows all this Jewish customs and everything, but she's saved. So she's a believer that knows all the background of the Jewish customs and everything. And then we actually did one of these Passover meals, just going through all these customs of the meal, because there's a lot of things. You know, there's times when you pray together, and then you have to drink the wine, and then you have to break the bread or eat the bread in a certain way. And there's a whole lot of little things that needs to happen. But the amazing thing about that meal is that everything points to Christ. And the Jews that don't believe in Jesus, they don't see it. And we could just go through all those customs and realize that, yo, dit beteken wat Jesus vir ons gaan doen aan die kruis. And dit beteken sy opstanding. And that is his, you know, the life that we can live with him. You know, all of the things that you do in that is actually pointing to Christ. It's so beautiful how God put that Passover meal actually in place to tell the Jews or to tell the people that, listen, Jesus is the Christ that would come. Now, they were basically then having this meal, Jesus with his disciples. Jy kan eers die skrif afhaal. Of jy kan net doodmaak daar. But Jesus then went from the normal custom, and he actually used a part of a wedding ceremony in what they were doing in that meal. So what would happen in a wedding in those days is that when a husband or a man sees a woman that he wants to marry, okay, and he's really like, okay, this is my vrou, yeah, this is my wife. He would go to his father, and then they would together go to the father of the woman, and then negotiate a price for the woman, okay. So I think in some African cultures it still works in that way, that they pay la bola, you know. But that was the custom in those days. You would go to the father of the wife, and then you would negotiate and say, listen, she's worth so much and this and this, and then they would settle on that. And then what would happen after that is the husband would then take a cup of wine to the woman. Okay, so the man would take a cup to the woman as resembling his life. Saying that, listen, I died to myself and I want to live my life now through you. Okay? And then what she did with that cup determined what would happen. Okay? So if we think of it today, it's like going down on your knee, and then she needs to make that choice. Okay? And if she drank that, she said that, okay, I also lay my life down, and the life that I now live, I'm going to live through you. And that is what covenant is all about. And we speak about that actually in marriage prep a lot. So, but that is what happened in the wedding ceremony. And now I want to take us to this part in Scripture where Jesus is basically having this meal with his disciples. Luke 22. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." When we take part in communion, which we're gonna do again today. When we take part in communion, we're actually saying, "Jesus, I'm laying down my life. And the life that I now live, I live through you." Jesus says that we need to do this in remembrance of him. We need to do it regularly. We need to remind ourselves that, listen, when I take that cup of juice, when I take the wine, I'm actually saying, "Jesus, me as part of the bride of Christ, the church, I'm laying down my life. And the life that I live through you." How beautiful is that? Jesus puts in this last Passover meal, he institutes the Last Supper. And that's what we're actually going to do today. So I want us to, basically, we can hand out the communion. We can hand out the communion. And I really want us to, before we take communion, I just want us to, Johannes, ek kan dalk net vir ons net kom speel, maar I just want us just to sit for a while. I know we sat a bit in worship time as well, just thinking about God and thinking of the fact that God is a holy God. But I just want us to reflect on our own hearts. As they hand out the elements of the communion, I just want us to take some time just to meditate on your own heart. Think about the things that we spoke about today, our circumstances, the things in our life. Think about those things and just bring it before God. Bring it before God and just let's just do business with God today, in a sense, and say, "God, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. I want to be able to lay these things down. I want to be able to pour out that water before you and say that you are a bigger blessing than this water to me now. At this time." So let's, as the communion is handed out, let's just take a few moments to think about that, and then we'll take the communion together. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you today, Lord. I thank you for the cross, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that before we can pour out anything, Lord, you poured out your blood for us, Lord. Your blood was poured out on that cross, Lord. You gave your everything, Lord. And God, thank you that we can have a part of that today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have a part of that today, Lord. In remembering, Lord, what you did for us on the cross, Lord. Remembering your body that was broken, Lord. Remembering your blood that was poured out, that flowed for us, Lord. Lord, we just come and acknowledge, Lord, and just come and confess that that's the only reason we can even think of pouring out our lives to you, Lord. It's because you did it first, Lord. You made the way, Lord. You give us strength, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful cross, Lord. And Jesus, thank you for communion, Lord, for this thing that you instituted, Lord, that we can 2,000 years later still do, Lord, in remembrance of you, Lord, in remembrance of your body that was broken for us, Lord, in remembrance of that passion that you went through on that cross, Lord, the passion you had for each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you, God, that joy that was set before you when you suffered the cross, Lord, was us, Lord. reconciled to the Father, Lord. Lord, you made the way for us to have a relationship, a love relationship today again, Lord. And love means choice, Lord. We want to choose you today, Lord. When we take this bread and when we take this wine today, Lord, we want to choose you, Lord. We want to say, God, we lay down our lives, Lord, and the lives we now live, we live through you, Lord. Thank you, God, that's the best thing that we can do, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that is the only way, Lord, that we can do life, Lord. We don't want to live for ourselves, Lord. We don't want to simply pour out into ourselves, Lord. We want to pour before you, Lord. We want to use what we have on you, Lord. And Here, thank you that you don't want to be number one on the list, Lord. You want to be the center of everything on that list, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. Kom ons eet saam. Yes, Lord, thank you for your body that was broken, Lord, so that we don't have to be broken, Lord. God, I thank you today that you don't promise a pain-free and a trouble-free life, Lord. But you promise a whole life, Lord. A life whole in you, Lord. Unbroken in you, Lord. And thank you, God, that we can remember today your body that was broken, Lord, so that we don't have to be broken. And Lord, thank you for your blood that flowed for us, Lord. Thank you that you poured out, Lord, your everything, Lord. You didn't hold back, Lord, so that we can be clean here today, Lord. We can stand here free today, Lord. And we just want a part of that, Lord. We want to say today, Lord, that the life that we live, we want to live through you, Lord. And God, it's not going to be easy, Lord. And it might seem scary, Lord. It might seem scary to leave everything behind, Lord. But God, thank you that what lies ahead is so much better. So much better, Lord, than anything that we're holding on to. Let's drink the wine together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.